just by way of report, we've had wonderful growth in the ministry. We trained a church back in March. We took a lot of time off from some of our schools that we were in once a month here in the surrounding counties. Needed to go down to Concord, North Carolina. A church down there had an open door. They've been praying for 5 years for a door to open in one of their schools there in their county, in Cabarrus County, right outside of Charlotte, in a city school. And God opened that door. They'd been praying. They'd been sending prayer cards to the teachers for 5 years. They'd been doing proctoring down there, is where the schools are always asking for individuals out of the community to come in and just make sure the youngins don't cheat on their EOGs. And that's all they do. And we count it as a time of witnessing whenever Miss Sharon and I get to go do it. We try to do it as often as we can when we're freed up from teaching in the classrooms to just go in and just be with our young people and witness to them. They've been doing that for 5 years. And they finally got the open door to teach the character under construction in the schools. And in the month of March, they had 27 classes that they taught down there. Then at the end of those 27 classes, we just cut them loose. We said, "You've got it." And they said, "Good, Mr. Conrad, you go back to Boone. We'll talk to you some other time, maybe next year." And they had it going. So we came back up here, started back up with our classes up here again. It was a blessing. We saw since January 17 souls saved, just personally, Mrs. Conrad and I in our schools. 17 young people accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior since January, and that was a blessing. And you probably read this in our prayer letter already, but I'm just recapping. We just learned the other day, this hasn't made it into our prayer letter yet, I just got this news 2 weeks ago, that we trained another church in Wilkes County, thanks to Calvary Baptist Church, Pastor Simpson down there. I had them up at North Wilkes High School one day. They came in and watched the classes after a training. They wanted to teach in that school, so I was starting to train them. After I had them in the classroom for one time, they were just observing. They had gone to the superintendent of the county and talked to him. I did not even know about this. And next thing I know, I got a text that said the superintendent just sent out an email to all the principals of every school in Wilkes County approving the character under construction for every single school. And I said, "Praise the Lord. Now we just need volunteers. We need churches to take this." So we're going to, myself and three other missionaries are going to this summer try to hit many services down in Wilkes County and tell the pastors and the churches, "Here's what God's done for you. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to take it and run with it, or are you going to turn your back on it and say, 'Well, our young people need help, but you're not willing to go?'" So that's what our plan is for this summer. Hopefully, we'll have a church that will be working and teaching the lessons and helping the young people in Bible clubs all in that county down there. Great growth going on in the ministry. We got more to do this summer than we've got summer with everything that we have to do. We're not going to be teaching in the schools, but with Bible schools and trainings and things that we need to correct with some of the lessons. And we've got another coloring book coming out. We're trying to finalize that. Just much going on in the ministry. Keep us in your prayers, all right? We got some stuff coming up we need financial help with. And I just ask that you keep us in your prayers. God's going to provide the money, I know, but we've got some stuff coming up that we're going to need some help with. So just please keep us in your prayers that more souls get saved in the ministry, number one. That's what I want, God to save more souls in the ministry. But also that we... churches that don't support us would consider supporting us. We're right now at 62%. We're doing well, but we need to get to that 100% mark. We really do. So pray for us in the ministry for that. I'm not going to take particular... I don't have a piece of scripture to bring to you tonight as far as... Just turn to the book of Philippians. That's where we're going to be, all right? I love this letter from Paul to the Philippians, and that's where we're going to be tonight. We still have, by way of invitation, I guess I could put it, or pleading for, I know Sister Jan has wanted to be trained to go help in the Bible club at Valley Crucis. The Bible clubs here, we've got one at Cove Creek, one at Valley Crucis, there's one at Parkway School. And Brother Daniel Lawrence has got one out at Bethel School. If you want to help, this is after school, these clubs, for 2 hours, and most of them meet once a month, okay? And it's from like 2:30 to 5 once a month. If you're interested in helping, usually I believe most of them run from third grade to eighth grade. And with this, they have to divide them up usually in two groups. Any help that they could get, they would be greatly appreciated. They would greatly appreciate it. And it's a two-hour training that we do with you to just to let you know, give you a heads up on what's okay to do in the club, and don't do this. It's not appropriate in the club. So it's just a little two-hour training that we do, and then you can go and help them. All right, so if anybody's got a burden to do that, we're going to have a training here sometime this summer before school starts back to get that underway. The book of Philippians. All right, I've been reading through this book, and it was Paul's letter to the church there at Philippi, the Philippians, and what this letter was pretty much a thank you letter to them about the support that they had given him, the things that they had given him to send him on his way. If you look at the very last chapter, at the very end of it, he says that you gave to me. I'm putting my eyes on it right now. He said, one of the things, not that I desire a gift, but desire fruit that may abound to your account. You have done well, communicated with my affliction. And he had given them stuff, and this is a thank you letter from him to them, a big old thank you letter. But as many preachers do, he couldn't just stop with just a thank you for all you did. He had to put a bunch of encouragement in this letter as well. And that's what stood out to me at the very first chapter. Flip back to the very beginning there. And I'm going to be pulling stuff out of this chapter just to share with you for the next little bit that Paul had shared with the Philippians here. Some wonderful things. He thanks the church there at Philippi. In verse number 3, he starts out and he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. When he thought about that church, he said, much like Mount Lebanon here, you can't help but to think good things about our home church. But he said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Every time I think about y'all, I just get a smile on my face. That's what he said. In every prayer of mine, he said, I'm making all requests with joy. He said, I'm not hearing bad things coming out of the church. I'm doing my requests. I'm praying to God in supplication for you with joy. He said, I'm just praying God lift you up, God strengthen you, God give you courage to witness when you need to. And in verse number 5, he said, for your fellow in the gospel from the first day until now. And I saw first thing, this Christian growth right here, and it started in verse 5 for that church. He said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, this epistle from Paul, this letter, is written to the saved, okay? Those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in the church. And he's just helping them, lifting them up. First of all, see, he's telling them, every time I think of you, I get a smile on my face. It's just joy to pray for you. But he goes on to say, I promise, I'm confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you, the Holy Spirit, will do it, perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. If you let it and look to him constantly, and throughout this whole letter from Paul, this is what I got out of it. One, it started right here. If you'll be obedient to the Holy Spirit, if you'll just listen to it and let it guide you through everything in life, he says here, he said, I'm confident that it'll perform a good work in you, that you'll increase in your spirituality and your walk with Christ. He says, I'm confident he'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's his Christian growth that he prays for the church. He comes down a few verses more, and I see that Paul's got a desire for the church. It started in verse 9. He's praying once again. He tells the church, he says, this I've been praying for you as well. He says, and this I pray in verse number 9, that your love may abound yet more. Not only more, but and more in the knowledge and in all judgment. that your love of Jesus Christ, your love of the Scriptures, your love to walk even closer with God than you are now, it's, Lord, just feed me, grow me into what you want to be. He says, this is my prayer for you, that you grow in knowledge. How do we do that? We have to get in the Word of God. That's where we get it from, by doing our reading, doing our little devotions in the morning that we do, doing our studying. When God stops you on a verse, you know, you start looking stuff up, and I just get such a blessing out of that personal testimony. When I want God's knowledge, we get in His Word, and we start looking at verses, and we start looking at definitions of words, what they mean, and God will open up the Scriptures to us and speak to us every single day and give us more knowledge in what He would have us to do as far as our growth, our spiritual growth in Him. He says, not only in knowledge, but in all judgment of things, whether it be right, whether it be wrong, whether it be allowed or whether it be disallowed. He said that you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. I'll start looking. I love to look up the definitions of words, especially in the Old English. I mean, I with today's words, even in the New English, what we speak nowadays, I don't understand what some of them mean. I have to look it up in my dictionary. So I start looking up words in the Bible. It's like, I wonder what that word sincere means. And he says that you may, in verse 10, that you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere. That word sincere that he wants us to be, it says just pure. That's all it means, just pure Christians, okay? What I mean is that we're the same all the way through, okay? Not that we're perfect by any means, but that we're the same all the time, that we're not just nice in church and once we get outside the doors, we're different. He says, I want you to be pure. That definition, it says that, it said in the definition, found pure when unfolded and examined by the sun's light. It meant when you pulled it apart and opened it up, that it was the same all the way through. And I thought that was a blessing that Paul says, be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ Jesus. That offense is not leading into sin. That when I looked at that, I was like, you know, we all hear, well, don't do that, that offends me, or that offends me, I object to that offends me, you know. But he's saying right here that you may approve all things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense, not leading into sin or led into sin, that you're pure all the way through, that these things, I realize that we all mess up, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about living in sin, that you're pure all the way through. He also goes on in verse 11, he says, that you may be found without offense until the day of Christ Jesus, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. As I was looking up things and reading Paul's letters to Corinthians, Ephesians, here in Philippians, and Colossians, and all these, everything that comes up over and over and over again is this word fruit. What Paul's saying here is that I want you to have what it says in Galatians 5:22. Paul explained it as the fruit of the Spirit, okay? Sure, we want to see souls saved, and that's fruits as well, but we're supposed to have fruit in our lives. If we don't have fruit on a fruit tree out in our yard, it's just cast down and counted as waste. But God wants us to show fruit in our lives with the 5:22 in Galatians. The fruit of the Holy Spirit that works within us is just simply love. It's joy. It's peace. It's long-suffering. It's gentle. That's moral goodness and character. It's also goodness, faith, meekness, that's being humble, humility, temperance, that's that good old self-control that we have such a hard time with. And it says also temperance. Paul explained it that way because I had a question one day. I was like, what is all this fruit stuff that Paul's talking about? And then I understood that as a Christian, we're supposed to have these things shown in our lives. When Paul said that you'd be pure, when they pull us apart, they see these things inside of us: love, joy, meekness, temperance, goodness, these things, good moral character. That's what we're supposed to have and try to obtain: self-control. There's a good one that we should have in our lives. That's the fruits that Paul's talking about. The fruits of righteousness, by right living, by trying to please God in what we do. These things are part of that we should show in our lives. The second thing or third thing I saw here, I had Paul's Christian growth that he's looking at for the church. I had Paul's desire for the church there at Philippi. And then I saw, changed over, and I saw the Christian's selfishness. Same chapter, number one, but going over into verse number 21. We have the familiar scripture here, and I'll start back a little bit further in verse number 20. According to my earnest expectations and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And the familiar scripture that I spoke of was this: for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But I realized here that Paul's selfishness here, he's going through a bit of he's having one of them mind wrestling matches, you know. He's talking to the Lord, and I hear it a lot of times in church, and especially from the elders that are they think that God's done with them. And they say, I'm just waiting on the Lord to come. I can't wait for the Lord to come. I wish he'd come tomorrow. And I believe Paul right now is going through one of those moments. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, that's the fruit of my labor. He's talking about that's his fruit. That he's going to show this to other people, to other churches, and see souls saved and see, watch them change. He says, but what I choose, I have not knowledge of. I wot not. He says, I don't have knowledge of this thing. He said, for I'm in a strait betwixt the two. He said, I got a wrestling match going on here. But the selfishness of the Christian said this, and I hope y'all can get something out of this. I'm in a strait betwixt the two. It says, to be with Christ, I'm sorry, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But then I believe in Christians, this is where we should be at. Nevertheless, he says, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul says that. God's got a reason for us being here. Until, like Brother Dwight said, I heard in his eulogy there, I think that's what it's called here at the church, that he said, God ain't took me yet. I guess he ain't done with me. And that's the way we ought to look at it. I realize that we're waiting for the Lord to come, but my, God has a job for every one of us if he saved us. It's to show that fruit in our lives. Paul said, I want you to start doing what I just said, to approve all things that are excellent, be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Paul said, do these before Christ comes. He'll take you when it's your time. Don't worry about that. But Paul says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, here again he's talking about confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for all your furtherance and joy of the faith, that your rejoicing may be more and more abundant in Jesus Christ, for by me and by my coming to you again. If nothing else, he's saying, I need to come and lift my brothers and sisters up. That's what he's saying. He said, it's more needful for you if I stay here. I want to go be with the Lord, and I understand a lot of us say that. I just want him to come now. It's getting to be a mess out there. But also, he's got something for us to do until he comes back or until he takes us. And that's what Paul's saying here. He says, I thought about it. He said, well, I was just saying, the Lord wants you to just come right now. I'm ready for you. You know, it's getting bad out there. But he says, you know what? You're not coming to get me. That means you got something for me to do. I need to show fruits in my life. I need to labor for you. And I need to lift up my brothers and sisters in the church that their rejoicing might be more. Amen. I saw that Christian selflessness there in those verses. But then I also saw right across the page in it's right across the page in my Bible, over in chapter number 2 at the beginning of it, I saw the humbleness of a Christian. Paul said in chapter number 2 and verse number 1, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, and I want to tell you that consolation right there, it didn't mean that the Philippians didn't have the qualities already that they needed, but since they had these qualities through Christ, they should encourage each other and become more unified and be of one mind. And that's what it is, all be on the same page. And that's what Paul was talking about here and telling them, if therefore be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, he says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Amen. Having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. He says, let nothing be done in strife. That's contention for superiority within the church. He said, let there be nothing done in strife or vainglory, groundless self-esteem, empty pride, puff-uppedness in the church. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others. And I like to include that next verse, even though it looks like it's a separate paragraph down below it. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I was in a church, it was Sunday, and there was a young man there. I guess I call him young. He was probably in his 30s, late 30s. And you could tell, it looked like he had cerebral palsy or something like that. His hand wasn't working quite right. And as we left the Sunday school room, I was shaking hands and saying, appreciate you, thank you. And I got up to him and I said, good morning, sir. I appreciate you being here today. And he just looked at me and he stopped. And I was like, uh-oh, did I say something wrong? But he looked at me and said, sincere as could be. And he said, thank you for calling me, sir. And I was like, well, I'm no better than you. Of course I should call you, sir. But apparently he hadn't heard that before. Esteem others better than yourselves, you know. I've had people tell me, don't call me sir, I don't deserve it. I'm sorry, but I just esteem others better than myself. That's what we're supposed to do, just lift each other up and not be in contention for superiority. There's no I'm better than you, I know more than you. We've all got our special talents and all our purpose here. And it goes in the Bible, it talks about the hands and the feet, and you know, one saying they're better than the other. But Paul says, no contention for superiority, no groundless self-esteem, no empty pride, and let nothing be done in this, but esteem each other, lift everybody else up better than yourself. And I thought, what a blessing that was, that a man that labored like Paul would say that. But he just said this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he gave the example of Christ being a servant. Christ had all the power in the world. But Paul said, and being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God, I like this, he didn't lift himself up, but God lifted him up, hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I believe I can't put my finger on it right now. There's a piece of scripture in the Bible where the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Lift each other up. Let them sit on top, okay? And you humble yourself down there and let God lift you up in due time. I saw that Christian humbleness in there. But then as we go in this, I also see, hello, Mr. Spider. I also see, I'm just going to leave him there, the Holy Spirit, obedience, chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I like this verse, and it stumbled me at first whenever I first laid eyes upon this verse, because we know that we can't, our salvation is not by works. But Paul says here, work out your own salvation. I was down in Wilkesboro one day, and I don't know why, but in Wilkesboro, missionary Baptist churches are black churches. And we're out there on support. We're going visiting churches, needing support and needing volunteers in our schools. And I was like, missionary Baptist church, amen. We'll go in there and go to service. And I walked in, and we were, you talk about church service. Them people love the Lord. It was something like I've never experienced in my life. We went to three of them. I couldn't get enough at one. We went to three of them looking for support, looking for volunteers coming into the schools. But as I did that, I heard a pastor say from the pulpit that the choir, he said, y'all leave them alone. They're working out their own salvation. And I was like, what's he talking about? I was like, honey, we're in the wrong church. I got the wrong doctrine. I was like, you know. But then I started studying this, and what Paul's saying is, with Holy Spirit obedience, after you get saved, God's got a plan for you. He says, work now that you're saved, now that you've got salvation, you need to work that out and figure out where God wants you, what he's got for you to do, where he wants you to serve, what job he wants you to get. Seriously, pray about that. God's got a plan for you after you get saved. It don't matter how old you are. He's got a place for you even now. Just ask him, Lord, I need to work out some more of my salvation. Where do I need to be? And that's what Paul's telling him right here. It's not salvation by works. It's work out your salvation after you're saved, where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to be doing. And he says, work it out yourself with fear and trembling. That's through the Holy Spirit and the fear of God. Asking him, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? Where am I supposed to be at? Who am I supposed to witness to today? Am I supposed to go over here? Am I supposed to go over here? Am I supposed to go? Wherever he leads you, that's working it out with fear and trembling. For it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that's what it's for. He's got a job for us to do his will and good pleasure. His delight, his satisfaction is what that means. Another definition there that comes in that he's got a plan for us. But we need to seek it out through the Holy Spirit. Pray about it. If you don't have peace about it, don't do it. Okay, that's the way the Holy Spirit leads me in a lot of things. If I don't have peace about something after I pray about it, I ain't doing it, because God's not in it. But if you've got total peace about it, and you're praying, and I mean praying a lot, like days, weeks, and months about it, and you've got peace about it, I fully believe that's the Holy Spirit giving you the green light, okay? But if you've got apprehension about it, if you've got dread, you got anxiety about it, God ain't in it. He's trying to give you a little bit of heads up that you ain't supposed to be doing this. I don't want to have a part of this. My will's not in this, okay? But he says, for God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Knife to the heart. Sometimes that gets us. God, seriously? You want me to do what? There's no money in that. There's no insurance there. I don't need to be talking to them right now. They just laugh at me for being a Christian. Paul says, do it all without murmurings and disputings. That I looked it up with that murmurings and disputings. It just, the thinking of man deliberating with himself. You know what I'm talking about? The wrestling match we have inside. You don't want me to go over there. I don't need to go over there right now. They'll be fine. I'll get to them tomorrow, you know. That's that deliberating within your mind, that inward reasoning that we have. And that's what Paul says, do it without it. Just go, okay? It's coming up to, if I had to bring an ending to this, and I should have said at the beginning, it's Christian peace, okay? Throughout this whole letter, the very thing that it ended up with was having Christian peace, not dread, not guilt about what we didn't do, but having Christian peace. Paul says, work out your own salvation. Do it without murmurings and disputings. He says, this is important, that ye may be blameless and harmless sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, in whom ye shine as lights in the world. When I saw this in the Bible, I thought about being harmless and blameless, that means that they're not saying they go to church when they see us acting, doing things out in public. They ought to be saying, that's a Christian right there. I know that's a Christian. And what I wanted to look at right here, it's what Paul says in that blameless, it's to find no fault in them. I know we're going to mess up, and I'm not saying that we're not, but think about what I spoke about there at the beginning of the chapter when it said that all things that are pure, whenever they unfold, you look deep inside, they can say, that's one of them Mount Lebanon crowd right there. I know them. That's a good church. Them's good people up there. That you may be blameless, harmless sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Over in chapter 3, verse 17, Paul says this to him, brothers, be followers together of me. And you could pull a whole sermon out of this. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. And I thought about this one day. I said, do you have the mark? Do you have that mark that when people see you, they go, there's one of them good ones right there. You know? That's what Paul was talking about. You've got us for an example. What he was saying. He says, Jesus has set the course. I've followed him. And he said, now those others that have followed also, he said, mark them. Not with no 666, no mark of whatever, not that kind of a mark. But he's like, mark them as a Christian. And I thought, what a blessing that would be to have that mark. I don't know what it would be, but, you know, just for somebody to look and say, there's one. There's one of those good ones. If you need somebody to talk to or pray for you, go get him, go get her. You know, something like that. To have that mark. That's what Paul's talking over here. Be blameless, be harmless sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, from whom you shine as lights in the world. We've always heard that's what we're supposed to be, a light unto Christ and to this lost and dying world. Do you have that mark? You can if you choose it. We just got to think about the things that we do and we say, be led by that Holy Spirit. The next thing I saw was this. As I'm getting ready to wrap on the end of this here. What I saw Paul's next thing was the Holy Spirit obedience. We had that. We had Paul's prayer for the performance of the church was first. Paul's desire for the church that was next. The selflessness of a Christian's walk. The humbleness of the Christian. And then we had the Holy Spirit obedience, that last part. But then I saw as we went through this and I was looking at this, that the reason that we do this is for what it says at the end of chapter 4, that we have peace, which is so wonderful to have in our lives. Not being guilty, not dreading the next day, but having peace. Paul starts out in 4:4 with peace through prayer. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's what it ought to be for everything. Before we try to work it out with our own hands, it ought to be, and I understand, I'm human too. I still sometimes try to do things first without the Lord, just my own knowledge, and it just goes much better if I just ask the Lord for some help with it along the way there. I should have thought of him first. But get him working, and it always goes much better. But Paul says here, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, it doesn't mean to be careless in life. That's not what that careful means. It doesn't mean to be go out here and recklessly, Lord, keep me safe on the road and just go, you know, and be be careless. But this careful means this: don't be worried down with things. Take it to the Lord. And that's what he's saying here. Don't be worried down with things. Don't be burdened with things. Take it to the Lord. He said everything, prayer and supplication, that's praying for others. And also with thanksgiving. That ought to be number one in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for what you blessed me with today. When Mrs. Sharon and I have our morning altar, and we pray together before we start our day. And by the way, men and ladies, it goes a lot better when you start your day off that way. I promise you it does. Our days get to be a wreck if I forget. My, they go bad. But we get together, we pray every morning. And the first thing we do, and I'm not anybody, but I thank the Lord when I get up. Lord, thank you for this working. You know, amen? I can get up out of bed. I can get to where I need to go. I just thank him for what he's blessed us with. I got a dry roof over my head. It's vehicles that run, you know, just wonderful. My cupboard's got food in them. I'm not going hungry. I just thank him. Let your request be made known unto God. And then the peace in verse number 7 of God, which passeth all understanding. Some people just don't get it, and they never will until they get saved. And that's part of our witness. You have no idea what I've got because you don't have it yet. But that peace that we have, which passeth all understanding, we can't explain it, but God's put that Holy Spirit inside of us to give us peace. I've been in some foul moods some days, church. I live in the flesh just like you, and I get upset over things sometimes. But it passes all my understanding when I say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, I ain't supposed to be like this. Help me get in a better spirit. And it's like, well, that was easy. I should have went to him an hour ago when this was bugging me back then. It surpasses my understanding. I don't understand it, but I'm glad it's in there. I am. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, that peace that we can have, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But he says this, and I'll close. Finally, brethren, in verse number 8, he says this: peace through pure thoughts. Whatsoever things are true, he goes right back to where he was in the beginning, that you've got that judgment between truth. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. That word just is just seeking after God, a just person. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report. He goes on to say, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, he said, think on these things. Just dwell your thoughts there. He said, in those things which we just went over, and there's a lot more in there that I didn't hit on. He said, those things which ye both learned and received and heard and seen in me. You do some reading about Paul, it'll bless your heart. Why? Because he was just after Christ. He considered it. He said this, that I'm not going to lay hands on it right now. But he says, I want to be found in him, in chapter 3 and verse 9, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He just wanted to be found in Christ, that he could have that same, that bond with him, with Christ Jesus, that he would always be thought of as that one that was, he's after Christ's heart. He's got that heart of a servant. He's just trying to please Christ in everything he does. Jesus has set that example out there for all of us to follow. He should be our mentor. He should be that benchmark out there that set that mark for all of us to reach. That goal that we should all be trying to obtain was to have that character of Jesus Christ. But he says this. He says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And I don't know about y'all, but I like peace. I like to have peace about the day. I like to have peace about my week. I like to have, I just like peace in general. It's great. It really is. It's not, it's, I don't always have it though, but I work and I strive for that, that I can have it more and have it more abundantly. But it says, if you do these things that Paul did, these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. He was telling the Philippians because they didn't see Jesus. They didn't have him there, but Paul had him in here. He said, these things which you've seen me do, you do. He said, and that God of peace, he said, he'll be with you. The reason we do this, chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul gives a great example in great words here. After he says in that verse 15 that you may be blameless and harmless sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation with whom ye shine as lights in the world, he said, holding forth the word of life, and here's why we should do it, the same reason as Paul, that I may rejoice, and this is in verse 16 of chapter number 2, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain. Everything that we work for down here, the earthly things, they're going to go away when we're in heaven. But everything that we've laid up there that we've done for Christ Jesus is going to stick. He said, I don't want to get up there before him. That day of Christ, I don't want to go up there and say, well, I did it all for me. Sorry, Jesus. He said, that's not what, I don't want to have to run. I don't want to be known for running in vain and doing the things of the world, that I neither ran in vain or labored in vain. He said, I don't want that. And that's the way we ought to be, church. Amen. That's what we ought to be. Take advantage every day. Redeem the time that we still got here left on this earth. That we can be that light to somebody, that people just see us and see that mark, say, that's one of them good ones from Mount Lebanon. That'd be a blessing. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we